Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A suspect charged with child sex offenses was shot to death yesterday by law enforcement officers in Delta Junction. According to a state trooper report, the shooting occurred as federal, state, and local officers were trying to capture 59-year-old Daniel Dwayne Jensen Jr. of Delta. Troopers say members of a U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force went to apprehend Jensen on an outstanding felony warrant for multiple counts of first and second degree sexual abuse of a minor under age 13. The charges stem from a trooper investigation into the alleged offenses that court documents say were committed 18 years ago. Alaska State Troopers, Anchorage, and North Pole Police assisted the marshals in the attempted apprehension. None of them were injured. The release says officers with the troopers and North Pole Police who fired on Jensen have been placed on mandatory 72-hour leave while the state investigates the shooting. Online court records show Jensen was indicted in October 2013 on 5 felony counts of sexual abuse of a minor in the Delta area in 2002 and 2003, but the records don't show that he ever went to trial. Other records show Jensen was charged with violating a condition of release in April 2015 and that troopers issued a warrant for him for failing to subsequently appear in court. New documents show that the Alaska Native Regional Corporation for the North Slope collected a big payout when Congress opened the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge's coastal plain to oil drilling 2 years ago. As Nat Herz with the Alaska Energy Desk reports, the $22 million payment to Arctic Slope Regional Corporation underscores the big stakes in the debate over oil exploration and development in the Arctic Refuge.
ASRC's 13,000 Alaska Native shareholders own the oil rights to 150 square miles along the coastal plain. But the area couldn't be developed unless Congress opened the rest of the coastal plain to drilling. As a result, ASRC has long been one of the most aggressive advocates for opening the refuge to oil development. Here's Executive Richard Glenn testifying before a congressional committee 2 years ago.
These lands hold resource potential for oil and gas development.
A line in ASRC's latest annual report helps explain why the corporation was so keen on opening the area to drilling. After Congress's vote, oil companies BP and Chevron paid ASRC a total of $22 million to maintain their oil rights to the corporation's 150 square miles along the coastal plain. And ASRC stands to benefit even further if oil is ultimately found and produced on its property. The Native Corporation is the largest Alaska-owned business, with annual revenues exceeding $3 billion and more than 15,000 employees inside and outside the state. The corporation is heavily invested in oil and gas, with its own refineries and an oil field services business. It also collects royalties from oil production on some of its lands outside the Arctic Refuge. Those holdings have proven valuable for shareholders, as ASRC's most recent annual dividend was $7,000. But the corporation's pro-development position has recently caused tensions with other Alaska Native groups, which say they're threatened by global warming. And the corporation recently withdrew its membership from the Alaska Federation of Natives. ASRC declined to comment on the payment from the two oil companies. Chevron and BP each confirmed that the payment was made, but declined to comment further. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Indigenous points of view on Alaska's economy are the focus of a conference in Fairbanks. Native leaders from around the state are convening for 3 days to discuss how Alaska's economy will change when extracting resources is no longer sustainable. KUAC's Robin reports on the Alaska Just Transition Summit.
Alaska's economy is heavily dependent on extraction industries, such as oil and mining, that dwarf the dollars and jobs from many other sectors. And although there are many resources left, people are looking to shift away.
Whatever economic boom Alaska once had from its extraction is now over, and the costs that our people are facing so far outweigh any empty hopes that somehow continue extracting fossil fuels.
That's Ruth Miller, Dena'ina Athabascan, and one of the coordinators of the Alaska Just Transition Summit, meeting this week at the Westmark Hotel in Fairbanks. She says Native people disproportionately face the pollution and other negatives from oil development.
Well, the argument that many people use in defense of the fossil fuel extraction industry is that it's the Alaskan economy. They're not the ones who are facing the direct impacts, the destructive impacts of these projects on our land and in our waters.
She says oil developers are invited to the conference to hear from Native leaders. Across the country, many just transition groups are starting these conversations. They believe that as Americans use less fossil fuel, those industries should phase out, while new ideas for jobs for the former oil workers need to be developed. The Alaska Just Transition Summit is themed Ko-Relnich, which means we remember in Lower Tanana. Conference materials say Native people remember a knowledge system that has lived in harmony on northern lands for thousands of years, and that could inform the future economy.
We need to learn how to transition, not just for the safety of our peoples, but for the safety and well-being of our lands and waters and plant and animal relatives. We are facing the collapse of our ecosystems, and it's time that we adapt.
Miller says about 250 Indigenous and non-Indigenous Alaskans are signed up for the conference, and registration is closed. But coordinators want the summit sessions to be as accessible as possible and set them to be live-streamed on social media platforms. On Facebook, the page can be found at Alaska Just Transition Summit. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.